Yeah, you can be seated. Let's pray together. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that today? That you are no longer slaves. There is something new that took place in our lives when we came to Christ. Something new. The old was passed away. All things became new. All things. There's not one thing that's lacking in your life if you came to Christ. Because it's all new. And it's all new today. Right now, right here. You, if you are in Christ, are a child of God who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's your Father. Which means you are no longer a child of the enemy, no longer a child of the devil. And the children of God and the children of devil are obvious. They're obvious. If you are in Christ, you're a child of God and you're no longer a slave. Lord, I want to pray that as we open the word to these things, to this thought, the thought of who we are in Christ. Father, so that whenever there's the question, who are you? We know who we are. We know who we are in Christ. That Father God, that we are no longer the same. It's no longer all old, it's all new. That Lord, that you've taken our sin away, that you have forgiven us. So there's no more guilt, there's no more shame anymore. There's just this promise of hope, Lord. This anticipation of your goodness and your glory following us all the days of our lives. Father, I want to thank you that we're children of God today. And I ask, Father, as we open the word, and as we discover some of these things, I know that some of this will be familiar. But Lord, I pray that it'd be so fresh today that we would go out from this place not only singing this song, but also, Father, living this song as children of the King. And I ask these things in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen and amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're going to begin in verse 9, but we'll be looking more at 14 through 17. Okay, so as you turn there, you know, I was 5 years old in the first grade. Okay, I started young. And I just received my first report card. I was sitting in the school bus, getting ready to take us to the school stop in Metairie, Louisiana. And I was looking at that report card because they gave it to us at the end of the day. And so I'd gotten on the bus and I picked it up and I saw it and I looked at it. And I saw my name on it, Michael Fritcher. And I can remember as this five-year-old getting my report card and seeing my name, that it dawned on me of who I was. It was really the first early memory that I have of Fritcher. Michael Fritcher. I want to tell you, it's an emotional thing for this five-year-old. I know that there's so much we don't know when we're five, but there's something that took place in my life in that moment on that school bus, third row back, that I was a Fritcher. I was a Fritcher. And it's a good thing to be a Fritcher. Matter of fact, my cousin Lulu, Louie, says, it's a great thing to be a Fritcher. You better watch out if you marry one. I mean, we like being Fritcher. My dad was one of seven sons, six of which had children. There were 27 of us as cousins. And as I look back over the childhood, which was a whole lot better than us together than it was in our teens, because we just didn't get together all that much. But I just want to tell you, at five, I knew I was a Fritcher. I knew who I belonged to. I knew that I belonged to Michael and Carolyn Fritcher. And it was a good thing. Fritchers, impatient, quick with an outburst. I'm going to tell you, I'm not the only Fritcher who's in a hurry. We're all in a hurry. Kind, giving, engaging, successful. Mainly blue collar. And they're either spectator sport fans or they're outdoorsmen, and some of them are both. You know, as I was younger in those younger years, I think that so much of what happened to me as a son of Michael Fritcher and Carolyn Eisen, because that's also who I am, I'm an Eisen on my mother's side, I'm my mother's son. So much of who I am is what happened in my life and took place in my life in those early years. You know, biologically, emotionally, even culturally, I'm a Fritcher. But you know what, I tell you this. It was never an arrogant thing. You never heard my dad say, "You're a Fritcher, act like it." My dad never said that. Maybe your dad said that about you. Because I want to tell you, there's some things about Fritchers that you don't want to act like. They're not. And so we never beat our chest saying, "Fritcher." We never did that. And I'm sure most of you never did that about your name. But there was just something about your upbringing, something about your culture. And maybe you're like me, we had just this wonderful culture, this wonderful place as Mike and Carol's children. I mean, we never lacked for anything. I'm talking emotionally, financially. We weren't rich by any means, but we always had, we never went without. My dad came up just in a struggle. And I just think he was blessed by just being able to do some things that he never got to do as a child. So we went on vacations, Smoky Mountains, the beach, Disney World, all those kinds of places. It's good being a Fritcher. I came to Christ at 8 years old, having grown up in the church all my life. It wasn't until my sophomore year in high school, 7 years later, that I began to systematically move through Scripture. And then I discovered that who I really was in Jesus Christ. I'm just not a son of Mike and Carol Fritcher. I am, and you are, sons and daughters of the living God. And just as there are characteristics in your life that are positive and that are fruitful, that were carried on from your generation and from your parents and your parents' parents that are good. There are qualities that you and I possess so that when we walk in this life, we might not look like each other biologically, but we look like each other spiritually because we look like our great God, our Father. Our Abba Father. We are no longer slaves. We're no longer slaves. And when we get to the point in our lives where we are knowing that and believing that and walking in faith in that and walking in the faith that who we are in Christ as sons of the living God, I want to tell you, it will all change for you. And it'll change quickly. Because there's some of us in here who are children of God, and God's our Father, but we're looking like we're slaves to the enemy. And I want to tell you, you are children of God. You are no longer slaves. Children of God means something so significant to me, something so wonderful to me. And as I begin this series on who you are, or who are you, I want us to see first and foremost that you were born again into the family of God, and God is your Father. Paul talks about this in Romans. Matter of fact, if you'll look at most of the New Testament, the New Testament letters, these writers, they write, they take pains with the first few chapters that they're writing of who Christ is, what Christ did, and as we responded to him, who we become in Christ, and then they begin the process of this is how we look. This is how you who you are. This is how you look. This is how you live it out of who you are. And I'm afraid that those of us, there's so many of them in the church, I'm not talking about this church, but so many church people, so many people, they have this faint understanding of who God is and who they are. But it's not applied. It's not practiced. And then therefore they walk looking like the devil and not like God. Not like their Father. So I look at these passages of scriptures that we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks. And we'll see who Jesus is. We'll see what he did for us. We'll see who we are in him and then how we live. It's the theme of scripture. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. However, you are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Here is again a small piece, but an important piece, that you only get to God through Jesus. There is no other name by which we are saved. And when we come to Christ, we get the Spirit of God. And the Bible says if you don't have the Spirit of God, you don't belong to God. That's the definition of a child of God. It's the definition of a believer, a Christian, a follower of Christ. We have the Spirit of Christ living in us. Therefore, we belong to Him. In a couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about how you are His special possession. You are His special possession, those of us in Christ. Powerful, powerful piece that we'll be looking at in a few weeks. But you are a believer in Christ, and the Spirit of God comes into you. Listen, when Amber did the baptism, and we baptized her, this was just a picture of what happened to her a couple of months ago. It's just a picture. The water was not made holy, okay? So we don't take it and save it because it's holy water now, right? We don't do that. No, it's just a grave. It's a watery grave. Instead of a cemetery and ground, we use the medium of water as a watery grave that says a few months ago she gave her life to Christ and Amber died to the old, died to the junk, died to the stuff, died to fear and worry. And she died with Christ and she was buried with Him and she was raised to walk in a newness of life. And as an act of obedience, she came through these waters today. Saying to you, this is who I am. I am no longer the Amber that you've known. We are no longer the people that you've known. But we've been changed by the Spirit of the living God. And the Spirit of God came into her life like He came into yours. And guess what that means? You belong to Him. That's what this verse is saying. You belong to Him. I'm going to stop right here. I'm going to pray for you, okay? Can I pray for you right now? Lord, I pray in your name that we would get this today. Because if we can get it today and live in it today, it's the game changer. It's the game changer of our lives. It changes everything because of what Jesus promises and who He is. And so I pray right now for a spirit of faith right now that would be birthed within us. Listen, if there's some of us, Lord, in here that are lost and we don't have the Spirit of Christ and we don't belong to you, that right now you'll be stirring in their hearts right now, right here, Lord, so that they might believe right now. Yeah, right now, right here. So that the Spirit of God comes in and they walk out of here knowing who they are and who they belong to. Because the Spirit of God is in them and the Spirit of God is in us. And I pray this in your name, Christ Jesus. Amen. Verse 10, if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Now listen, I don't know how you can ever walk away from those three verses and not see who the Spirit of God is, the Spirit of Christ is, and how He dwells within you. Amen? I mean, is that clear? The Spirit of God dwells within you. Savor it. Stand on it. Believe it. Live it by the power of the Spirit of God. He's in you. He is in you. Therefore, you are His. Notice verse 12. So then, brethren, We are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. Because if you're living according to the flesh, you're just going to die. But if you live by the Spirit, then you're putting to death the deeds of the body. And you've got this confidence that you're going to live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You are children of the Father, and you are led by the Spirit. Children of God, children of the Father, now watch, led by the Spirit. I'm just going to ask an honest question. Please don't, you don't have to answer it. When's the last time you thought about the Spirit of God leading you? Think about that. Be honest. Be honest in your heart. Some of you here, I never thought of that. Or I haven't thought of that since that bad season that what I was in. And I want to encourage you, church, to know that if the Spirit of God is in you, you have the Spirit of God, you are a child of Him, and the Bible says you're led by Him. And when's the last time you thought about that? When is the last time you've given attention to being led by the Spirit of God? Because the Spirit of God will lead you to great and mighty places. He'll take you to truth. He'll take you to what you're supposed to believe. He'll lead you in that. For what we believe. Look at the screen, and I think is there a passage coming up off of that one where Jesus talks about the Spirit of God. John 16:13, it says, "For we now he is the Spirit of truth." But when he the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. I'm sorry, Greg, I put this in this morning. Okay, I'm sorry. Forgive me, brother. John 16:13. "But when he the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He'll not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he's going to disclose to you what's to come. And he will glorify me, and he will take of mine and will disclose it to you." The promise of the Spirit is that when he comes, he's going to guide you into all the truth. All of it. There's some of you here today that you don't understand, you don't feel like you understand enough of the Bible. Can I ask you to do something? The next time you open your Bible, will you ask the Spirit of truth to lead you? Do you think the Spirit of God's going to say, "I'm not going to do that"? No. Is he going to rebuke you? No. With this confidence to open my word up and to say, and open my Bible up and to say, "God, will you lead me in this? Will you show me the truth of this? Will you show me how to live or what to believe? Will you show me how to live? Will you show me how to do ministry today?" I want to be led by the Spirit of God. Well, guess what? If you're a child of God, you're going to be led by the Spirit of God. Whether or not you're going to obey in the moment, it remains to be seen. But I want to tell you, you've got the personal work of the Holy Spirit in your life that will show you how to live, will show you what to believe, will show you. This is how great God is. That's why we don't believe in a priesthood that says, "Hey, you got to come to me before you can get to God." No, the priesthood of the believer is so powerful because, guess what? I get to go right into the Holy of Holies to find grace and to find mercy in time of need. And he comes to comfort. He comes to bless. And then all my priesthood is hey, come along with me. I want to show you the hand of God and let's get it together. But he wants to teach you. He wants to show you. You are a child of the Father, led by the Spirit. Now turn to Galatians chapter 5. One of the things how we know that we are led by the Spirit is ultimately by the fruit that comes forth from our lives. And I love the whole book of Galatians, but the latter part gives me instruction on what I'm to look like as a child of God. Galatians chapter 5. And nearly the whole chapter is given to this whole thought of walking by the Spirit. Verse 13, you were called to freedom, brethren. But do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. The whole law is fulfilled in one word, the one statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now if you're biting and devouring one another, take care that you're not consumed by another. But I say, verse 16, walk by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. And you will never, watch this. This is called a double negative. And a double negative in Greek is a very good thing. A double negative in English is a bad thing, okay? All right? It's just a bad thing. Is that right? English teachers, right? Is that right? That's a bad thing, a double negative. Because a double negative is really a positive, right? The double negative in the Greek is important. And when he says, I say walk by the Spirit and you will not carry, he says this, you will never ever by any means carry out the desire of the flesh. You'll never do that if you walk by the Spirit. If you're listening for the Spirit of God to live after, to walk after, if you're asking God, I want to be led by your Spirit. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Now, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Amen. Now, the deeds of the flesh, they're evident. They're immorality, impurity, sensuality. That's sexual sin. That's any sexual relationship outside of the marriage vow and the marriage covenant. If you're walking in immorality or impurity and sensuality, this is the deed of the flesh. And I want to tell you, no matter how good you think it feels, the Spirit of God's not the one leading you to that. God's not even near that. Really important. Really important. Sexual impurity is a very, very dangerous place to be in. It just is. And you don't find lasting peace in it. You don't find lasting joy in it. You'll find suspicion and you'll find mistrust. You'll find all those things in it. And that's a deed of the flesh. But if you walk by the Spirit, you'll never ever carry that out. Idolatry. Idolatry is just simply loving something more than you love God. Idolatry is not just these things that other people do way over there on the other side of the pond or the ocean. No, idolatry is when we think that something out there is going to fulfill what only God can fulfill, and I run hard after it instead of running after God. It can be your money. It can be your spouse. It can be your relationships. It can be your job. It can be any of those things. That's what idolatry is. That's what it is. If you are led by the Spirit, you'll never, ever be an idolater. Is that good news to you? Is that good news to us? You're children of God, led by the Spirit. And therefore, sometimes when we look at these passage scriptures, we've got to ask God, teach me in this passage scripture, show me in this passage scripture, show me how to live, show me how to understand it. And this is one that can be a difficult passage scripture, especially if you're living in this. Sorceries, enmity, strife, jealousy. I mean, listen, if strife follows you, there's something wrong. I mean, there's something actually wrong. If your life is spent where with one relationship there's strife, and another relationship there's strife, and there's another one that's strife, hey, you need to look up and say, it must be me and not them. Enmities follow you when you don't follow the Spirit. When you don't follow the Spirit, you can expect this kind of life. Outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, addictions, carousing, and things like these. Of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now here's the good news. You know there's no good news unless there's bad news first. I would say that again. You know there's good news. There's no good news unless there's bad news first. The bad news is that we come into this life separated from the life of God. Destined to live, like I just said, we were destined to live for. Because the Spirit of God's not in us. But 2,000 years ago on a cross, Jesus died to take those sins away. died on a cross, was buried, was raised the next day, that we would put our faith in that transaction that not only just made us a way to be with God, but to live for God. And that's the power of the cross. It's the power of the cross. It's the power of the death and the burial of and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that's living in you today. It's the Spirit of God. I don't know if I said that the way I really would like to say that, so don't judge me by that one. But listen, it's the Spirit of God that lives within you, that leads you to see this stuff taken out, that makes a way for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now look at verse 24. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. And that's in an ongoing tense, okay? It's not that you get it all done in one time, but you've been crucified the flesh. You've been doing it. You are doing it. You will continue to do it with its passions and its desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. You are children of the Father, led by the Spirit. This is why, listen, this is why I want to tell you that I believe and I speak it and I preach the wonderful good news that you can be free from that. Whatever that is in your life, you can be free from it. And you can experience it and walk it out so that other people see you're no longer a slave to that. But you must really be a child of God. And I want what you've got. You are children of God, led by the Spirit. Go back to Romans 8. And let's continue this passage. Romans chapter 8. I hope you kept your place. All, verse 14, all are being led by the Spirit of God. These are the sons of God. Now look at verse 15. For you have not received a spirit of slavery. You're no longer slave. That leads to fear again. But you've received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifying with our spirit that we're children of God. And if children, we're heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him so that we may be glorified in Him. Listen, you are children of the Father. You are a children of the Father and you are led by the Spirit. You are a children of God, a children of the Lord. And you are no longer slaves, no longer in bondage. Some of you might be looking today at your life and you say, well, wait a minute. I've received Christ into my life. I prayed to receive Him and all of a sudden I've walked a little bit and then I find myself, I'm in bondage to that sexual stuff you just said. I'm in bondage to that anger and those outbursts. I mean, I can't seem to get a hold of getting out of that and into it. But I know that Christ has saved me. I know that I have the Spirit of God living in my life. Well, I want to just say this. I've got news, good news for you. If the Spirit of God is living in your life, there is such great hope because I believe with all my heart, you can't stay there. You won't stay there. Don't you love the tree illustration that Jesus gives? He says a good tree cannot produce bad fruit, right? Good tree just can't. Well, it's a good tree can't continue to produce bad fruit. It's in an infinitive. And that just simply means, listen, if you're a good tree, you can't keep on being the way you are in your sin. You won't. Now, let me just say this. That's what I believe about salvation. That's what I believe about the good news. And you know, I think sometimes we need to ask God for that kind of faith. None of us in the Christian life have a problem believing that we're going to die and go to heaven one day. But will you believe in the fullness of what God has for you. The fullness of it. That not only you just make heaven, but just heaven is supplied to you abundantly because of the great work of the cross and of Jesus in your life. Now, in a minute, we're going to have an invitation in a few minutes. I'm going to ask, what is it that you need to ask God to birth within you today to believe? what we're talking about today. Because I would say this, you're no longer slaves. Now when I think about being enslaved, in this great song that we heard this morning, listen, I'm just going to go through it really quickly. You've got, if you didn't get notes, there's notes outside in the foyer. And I'm just going to say, look, you're a child of God, no longer a slave. You're no longer a slave to fear. You're no longer a slave to fear. And that's what he says. Listen, you don't have a spirit of slavery that you're afraid all the time. And by the way, next week we're going to be talking about fear and how to see that rid in your life and to see what fear is. And if all fear is an assumption of loss. That's all it is. It's an assumption of loss. We're talk about how we move through those days that we fear and worry and walk in anxiety. You're no longer a slave to fear. Hebrews 2:14 through 15, Jesus through death rendered powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might free those through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. You are no longer a slave to fear. You are no longer a slave to sin. Now this is important. Listen, this is what God declares about you. The question is, will I walk in agreement with it? Since we're close by, turn back to Romans chapter 6 and just look at verses 5, 6, and 7 with me. Verse 5 says, "For if we have become united with him in the likeness of death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is to never to die again. And it's no longer, and death is no longer a master over him." Listen, you're no longer a slave to sin. The Bible sees you and declares that you're no longer a slave to various lusts and pleasures. Titus 3:3 on the screen says, "For we also once were foolish ourselves. We were once disobedient and deceived and enslaved to various lusts and pleasures. And we were spending our life in malice, envy, hatefulness, hating one another." Folks, when you look at being a slave to various lusts and pleasures, you're going to see anger. You're going to see greed. You're going to see lust and hate, worry and doubt, unbelief. Hey, listen, the Bible says you're no longer a slave to these things. No longer a slave to the world. No longer a slave to insecurity. No longer a slave to guilt. You're no longer a slave to fear, no longer a slave to sin, no longer a slave to various lusts and pleasures. You're no longer a slave to death, according to Romans 6:9. You're no longer a slave to guilt. Bible says, "I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I didn't hide, and I said, I'll confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." Do you know the Old Testament word for forgive means? It means to take it away and carry it off. If you're living in guilt and shame and you're in Christ, you've lived in it too long. Because my Bible says when he forgave you, he forgave the guilt of your sin. He took the guilt away. Quit walking in agreement with something that's no longer there. You're no longer slaves. How many of you have seen elephants? They rock, right? You ever seen elephants rock? Rock like that, circus. They're tied to a peg, got a chain around their leg. And if they only knew who they were and what they had and the power they had, they could take 3 steps and pull that peg from the ground. But they taught them fear, or they taught them enslavement. They taught them as little bitty ones that as hard as you pull, you'll never get free. And so as they, before they get of an age to be able to pull it, they begin to believe they can't pull that thing out. And so they live their whole lives believing something that they're not. They are big. They are strong. They are mighty. They could pull that peg up like that and move and do some very bad damage. But they have their wrong thinking. They think because they never could do it when they were little that they can't do it now. Some of you are like those elephants in your mind. You think that you've got something around you, and it may be a sin stronghold that you've dealt with all your life. But I want to tell you, if you're in Christ Jesus today, You are a child of God, and you are no longer a slave to that chain, to that peg. Take 2-3 steps forward in faith and pull the peg out. Pull it out. Pull the peg of lust out. Pull the plug. Pull the peg of anger and bitterness out right now. You're no longer a slave to that. You're no longer a slave to that. Pull the peg of guilt and shame out because you're no longer a slave to that. You are children of the living God, led by the Spirit of God, and no longer slaves. Bow with me in prayer, would you? Praise team, could you come back up? Come back up and lead us. I want to just say this right now. Listen, every eye closed, every head bowed right now. You know, we don't do this often enough at the end of a service. But we're doing it right now. And as Christine starts playing, I'm just going to say this. Listen, I'm opening the altar right now. It is time to believe, to really believe that you're a child of God. You are no longer slaves. You are a child of God. You are led by the Spirit, and you're no longer a slave. My prayer was earlier in the message was, oh God, birth with us in a faith to believe that. And maybe just during this invitation, you need to get to this altar and say, God, I'm sealing this today as something to edge in my memory that I am a child of God, that I am led by the Spirit, and I'm no longer a slave to sin. Maybe you need to come to the altar, and maybe you need to start coming right now. And if you need to just come and settle something, come on and do it. You can make your altar the seat right now. But I'm just telling you guys, ladies, gentlemen, sons and daughters, if you are in Jesus, the Spirit of God is in you, and you're led by the Spirit, and you're no longer a slave. And today can be the day that that awakens within you. And as it awakens in you, you can go out of here pulling the peg. What is the peg? What is the peg, man? What is the peg, lady? What is the peg, fellowship? What is the peg that needs to just be taken out of your life that's already been taken out by the blood of Jesus? Father, I pray that you'd come and you'd visit us in this time of ministry, this time of life. I want to thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. My brother's going to start singing this song we sang this morning. If you need to come to the altar, come to the altar. If you need prayer, I'll find you some. If I can't pray for you, I'll find somebody to pray for you real quick.